Normal people have photos and videos and journals. We have the atlas. Picking it up and looking through it, I can see Henri has drawn a new line from Florida to Ohio. When I think of Ohio, I think of cows and corn and nice people. I know the license plate says, the heart of it all. What all is, I don't know, but I guess I'll find out. Henri gets back into the truck. He has bought a couple of sodas and a bag of chips. He pulls away and starts heading toward US 1, which will take us north. He reaches for the atlas. Do you think there are people in Ohio? I joke. He chuckles.
Would imagine there are a few, and we might even get lucky and find cars and TV there too.
I nod. Maybe it won't be as bad as I think. What do you think of the name John Smith? I ask.
Is that what you've settled on?
I think so, I say. I've never been a John before, or a Smith.
It doesn't get any more common than that. I would say it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Smith.
I smile. Yeah, I think I like John Smith.
I'll create your forms when we stop.
A mile later, we are off the island and cruising across the bridge. The waters pass below us. They are calm, and the moonlight is shimmering on the small waves, creating dapples of white in the crests. On the right is the ocean. On the left is the Gulf. It is, in essence, the same water, but with two different names. I have the urge to cry, but I don't. It's not that I'm necessarily sad to leave Florida, but I'm tired of running. I'm tired of dreaming up a new name every 6 months, tired of new houses, new schools. I wonder if it'll ever be possible for us to stop. Chapter 3. We pull off for food and gas and new phones. We go to a truck stop where we eat meatloaf and macaroni and cheese, which is one of the few things Henri acknowledges as being superior to anything we had on Lorien. As we eat, he creates new documents on his laptop, using our new names. He'll print them when we arrive, and as far as anyone will know, we'll be who we say we are.
You're sure about John Smith? He says.
Yeah.
You were born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I laugh. How did you come up with that? He smiles and motions towards two women sitting a few booths away. Both of them are extremely hot. One of them is wearing a t-shirt that reads, "We do it better in Tuscaloosa."
And that's where we're going next, he says.
As weird as it may sound, I hope we stay in Ohio for a long time.
Really? You like the idea of Ohio?
I like the idea of making some friends. Of going to the same school for more than a few months, of maybe, actually, having a life. I started to do it in Florida. It was sort of great. And for the first time since we've been on Earth, I felt almost normal. I want to find somewhere and stay somewhere. Henri looks thoughtful.
Have you looked at your scars today?
No. Why?
Because this isn't about you. This is about the survival of our race, which was almost entirely obliterated, and about keeping you alive. Every time one of us dies, every time one of you, the guard, dies, our chances diminish. You're number 4. You're next in line. You have an entire race of vicious murderers hunting you. We're leaving at the first sign of trouble. And I'm not going to debate it with you.
Henri drives the entire time. Between breaks and the creation of the new documents, it takes about 30 hours. I spend most of the time napping or playing video games. Because of my reflexes, I can master most of the games quickly. The longest it has taken me to beat any of them is about a day. I like the Alien War and space games the best. I pretend I'm back on Lorien, fighting Mogadorians, cutting them down, turning them to ash. Henri thinks it's weird and tries to discourage me from doing it. He says we need to live in the real world, where war and death are a reality, not pretend. As I finish my latest game, I look up. I'm tired of sitting in the truck. The clock on the dash reads 7:58. I yawn, wipe my eyes. How much farther?
We're almost there,
Henri says. It is dark out, but there is a pale glow to the west. We pass by farms with horses and cattle, then barren fields, and beyond those, it's trees as far as the eye can see. This is exactly what Henri wanted, a quiet place to go unnoticed. Once a week he scours the internet for 6, 7, 8 hours at a time to update a list of available homes around the country that fit his criteria. Isolated, rural, immediately available. He told me it took 4 tries, 1 call to South Dakota, 1 to New Mexico, 1 to Arkansas, until he had the rental where we're going to live now. A few minutes later, we see scattered lights that announce the town. We pass a sign that reads, Welcome to Paradise, Ohio. Population 5,243. Wow, I say. This place is even smaller than where we stayed in Montana. Henri is smiling.
Who do you think it's paradise for?
Cows, maybe? Scarecrows? We pass by an old gas station, a car wash, a cemetery. Then the houses begin. Clabbered houses spaced 30 or so feet apart. Halloween decorations hang in the windows of most of them. A sidewalk cuts through small yards leading to the front doors. A traffic circle sits in the center of town. And in the middle of it is a statue of a man on horseback holding a sword. Henri stops. We both look at it and laugh. Though we're laughing because we hope no one else with swords ever shows up here. He continues around the circle, and once we're through it, the dashboard GPS system tells us to make a turn. We begin heading west, out of town. We drive for 4 miles before turning left onto a gravel road, then pass open-cut fields that are probably full of corn in the summer. Then, through a dense forest for about a mile. And then we find it, tucked away in overgrown vegetation, a rusted silver mailbox with black lettering painted on the side of it that reads 17 Old Mill Road.
The closest house is 2 miles away, he says, turning in.
Weeds grow throughout the gravel drive, which is littered with potholes filled with tawny water. He comes to a stop and turns the truck off. Whose car is that? I ask, nodding to the black SUV Henri has just parked behind.
I'm assuming the real estate agent's.
The house stands silhouetted by trees. In the dark, there is an eerie look to it, like whoever last lived in it was scared away, or was driven away, or ran away. I get out of the truck. The engine ticks, and I can feel the heat coming off of it. I grab my bag from the bed and stand there holding it.
What do you think?
Henri asks. The house is 1 story, wooden clapboard. Most of the white paint has been chipped away. One of the front windows is broken. The roof is covered with black shingles that look warped and brittle. 3 wooden stairs lead to a small porch covered with rickety chairs. The yard itself is long and shaggy. It's been a very long time since the grass was last mowed. It looks like paradise, I say. We walk up together. As we do, a well-dressed blonde woman around Henri's age comes out of the doorway. She's wearing a business suit and is holding a clipboard and folder, a BlackBerry.